Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
It's the two Ronnies. It's Beavis and Butthead. Dumb and Dumber. Laurel and Hardy. Jobs and Woz. Yin and Yang. North, well, actually, South and South. It's the first UK Tech Weekly Podcast duo format. We've got two Southerners. Really just bringing you lots of tech musings, I think it's best to say. I'm Henry Burrow, and I've also got Scott Carey with me.
Hello.
One representative each from the other side of the fence, B2B and B2C. Which one's first? Not me.
Very good.
In B2B, some of that was unplanned. B2B world, Scott Carey, you are the Uberman. You are IDG's Mike Isaac.
I am.
You are bringing us all the most unpronounceable names in technology over the next 20 or 30 seconds. As the listener may know, Uber has finally picked a new CEO, and it's not a woman.
It is not a woman, which is very disappointing. Very, very complimentary to call me IDG's Mike Isaac. I'm not nearly as informed or as talented, but I do come bearing opinions. And
and you're some, a white man.
Yeah, and I will be butchering some surnames in the next sort of 20 minutes.
I'll let you off.
But yeah, so Uber finally, after a long protracted search, have settled on a new CEO, while its founder, Travis Kalanick, is taking a leave of absence following a raft of scandals, ranging from...
Putting it lightly.
Yeah, ranging from sort of tracking users to a massive sexual harassment scandal, which originated with Susan Fowler's blog post, which feels millennia ago, but it really wasn't.
Wasn't that long ago, really? It was less than a year, right?
Yeah, definitely less than a year.
But he remains on the board.
He remains on the board. He remains extremely influential. So
ingrained.
Yeah. So, I mean, he did build the company up from scratch, and it's got his fingerprints all over it. Mm. So the reason the search took so long, apparently, is because of a lot of infighting. So Kalanick had his favoured candidate, who, according to Recode, was Jeffrey... it was Jeffrey Immelt, GE CEO, General Electric CEO. And then Benchmark Capital, who are the biggest VC investor in Uber, they basically had a massive hand in pushing Kalanick out because they weren't too happy with his leadership style. They wanted Meg Whitman from HP Enterprise to be the new CEO.
HP Enterprise is a relatively young arm of that company, right, brand-wise.
Yeah, it's
split. So she's not been there for too long.
It's kind of strange that these people are so open about their desire to take the job at Uber, because now that they haven't got it, they've got a really difficult job to do in terms of sort of reasserting themselves as the leader of their company, being like, yeah, I'm fully committed to HP Enterprise.
I suppose you've got to pay attention, haven't you?
Yeah.
When Uber comes knocking. It's strange to me, well, obviously money talks, but it's strange to me that these people were so keen to get on this on the Uber bandwagon, which Dara something has done.
Yeah, so they...
I'll let you do the name.
They finally landed on Dara Khosrowshahi.
Yes, nailed it.
Yeah, I've been practicing. comes over from Expedia, the travel search giant.
And he's been there for like over a decade, right?
Yeah, I think he's been there 20 years.
Whoa.
And he's done an extraordinarily good job. In the last 4 years, Expedia's stock price has just doubled and doubled and doubled.
Okay.
And it is now, I mean, it is probably the biggest sort of travel search engine. I know Kayak's pretty huge in the US.
Yeah, it's not really made it over here.
No.
It sponsors the F1, I suppose. As much as I know about Kayak.
Yeah, but he's done an extraordinarily good job, and he comes with a really good pedigree. So in the way that we can sort of assess these things, he's got an extremely high rating on Glassdoor, 93%. He's consistently one of the more popular CEOs on there. In terms of his track record, he's made some massively successful acquisitions like HomeAway, which is an Airbnb rival. Stock price has gone through the roof. And in terms of sort of corporate culture, and diversity and all those important things, which are going to be increasingly important in his new role at Uber.
Just a bit.
He's got a very good track record as well. So he comes with a good reputation. It was a complete shock announcement, basically. His name wasn't even really being mentioned in the press or in what is a very leak-heavy boardroom at Uber. In fact, like people like Marissa Mayer, Sheryl Sandberg, Suzanne Wojcicki, that's the one I can't do, YouTube CEO, they were all sort of more fated options than Dara, so he must have done something very, very right during the recruitment process.
Yeah, to what extent is this CEO going to be expected to whip Uber into shape? You said that Kalanick still has his hands all over Uber, and there's this, well, however old the company is, but this ingrained problems, because they are objectively problems with the company and the attitude that a lot of their senior employees have. How much sway is he going to have over that? Is he going to like just sort of be a public facing figure, or is he really going to have to like get his hands dirty?
It's difficult to say. I mean, the fact that he's been appointed sort of suggests that he's kind of a truce candidate between Benchmark and Kalanick. So hopefully by not being either one's favourite candidate, he gets a little bit of room to manoeuvre. So Kalanick will try and influence decision-making there from his board seat, naturally, and I think it's quite an open secret that he'd like to be back at the helm there. But, I mean, that's conjecture. But I think he'll get a good shot at sort of putting his own stamp on the company. And the most important thing here will be a reputational sort of corporate culture transformation, which is not easy to do. I mean, it requires a lot of buy-in. It requires like quite a lot of change quite quickly. But I guess that they think he's the man to do it. So he'll have to come in. It's just a shame from sort of an optics point of view that it's not a female candidate, because you just get that immediate advantage of sort of a visual representation of what you want in terms of improving the working environment and the diversity within the company. But that's not to say that he's not the right person for the job just because he's a man. That time will tell with that. I think from a business perspective, it will be very interesting to see what he does, because Uber still loses money. and it's sort of on the track to an IPO over the next sort of couple of years. That. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have like an 18-month to 36-month sort of time frame on them going public. Kalanick was never that keen on it because it brings with it a lot of scrutiny, and he liked doing things sort of in the darker edges. So once you've got this sort of established CEO in now, it's much more likely that they will go public.
Okay. Do you think that would be as successful if Uber had done it in their current state?
It still would have been massive.
Yeah,
it still would have been absolutely massive. There's so much potential with Uber. This is why investors sort of love it, because it really is it's a beast of a business. And they've shown some, their financials came out recently and it was their best financials ever. Like their business has not suffered from the media coverage.
Yeah.
So, which proves that like his job will be to maybe try and narrow those margins a little bit, maybe try and get the financials in a little bit better shape, and maybe stop investing. I think one thing we'll see is we'll see him invest a little bit less in some of the moonshot stuff that Kalanick was doing. They're currently embroiled in a lawsuit with Google about stealing sort of trade secrets for self-driving vehicles.
Right.
And it's widely rumoured that Uber are actually sort of stepping away from trying to develop a self-driving vehicle of their own, and they might partner up with someone like BMW or Volvo or someone that is doing it themselves. That will help the financials because it will mean that they're investing less in the R&D, and then they can just sort of try and focus on their core kind of ride sharing food delivery business and try and get that in decent shape. And that's what he did at Expedia. He kind of made sure that Expedia itself was making money and then started worrying about R&D and doing some really cool data science stuff, of which we've written about quite a lot on Tech World. Like Expedia are a very interesting company in terms of what they do in the data space, but that was only once they'd got the core business back to where it needed to be.
Which is clearly what needs to happen here. And it's almost ironic that Uber, in thinking too much about a driverless car, has ended up with a rudderless ship.
It's also ironic that if they were to develop a driverless car, that would sort their financials out, because the thing that costs them the most money is drivers.
Yeah, that's the thing. Obviously, I think we have a justifiable fascination and also the need to report on these things at a corporate level. But like you said, as far as we can tell, that it hasn't really affected people's public perception of how they actually use the app and like the right at the bottom of the chain, us people using it. And we haven't really seen a proper resurgence of the hashtag delete Uber.
No, they are reportedly, there's plenty of articles on like Bloomberg about this, that they are losing a lot of market share in the US to Lyft.
Yeah.
And it would be very interesting to see if Lyft could do the same here in the UK if they were to enter this market. They keep refusing to tell me if they want to enter this market. They
it's probably the best thing for them.
Yeah, they're kind of just focusing on their core market and trying to get that right, which is, I mean, Uber spread itself extremely thin very quickly. Which worked. It did work. They entered a lot of markets as market leaders, and they only lost two of them in Russia and China, really. Yeah. They won basically every other major market. So
is Lyft's business model incredibly similar to Uber's?
It's virtually identical. The only difference is that Lyft tries to position itself as a little bit more of a friendly, sort of socially conscious business. But they still pay their drivers virtually the same. You know, you can tip your drivers, but you can do that here now.
Mm. Actually, one of our colleagues was using Uber the other day, and she tried to tip them and they wouldn't accept it.
So it's in-app now. So they've introduced in-app tipping. Yeah. My colleague Tamlin McGee wrote last week that it was probably quite a cynical gesture, because they've got a big sort of hearing coming up about how they're allowed to operate in the UK. So maybe introducing lovely things like tipping for drivers might give them a little edge there.
Is that a UK only addition?
That was a UK announcement. So they did a wide ranging UK announcement about how they were going to pay their drivers better and introduce tipping and stuff like that, literally like 2 months ahead of that major hearing with TfL. So.
Okay. Nicely timed. So... Yeah. You think it's going to be all right with Dara at the helm?
I think he's a really good choice. I wasn't too convinced by the alternatives. I mean, I don't know a lot about Jeffrey Immelt, but the fact that he was sort of Kalanick's favoured candidate makes me worried.
Yeah, poison chalice.
You don't really want a Kalanick puppet in there at this point. Whitman, fine, you know, very experienced, very successful. I would have loved Marissa Mayer just for the story, but actually it probably wasn't the best decision.
Probably not.
No, from everything I've heard, Dara is a good candidate. The main problem will be just how easy it is to do his job when you've got Benchmark suing Kalanick and the board is just an absolute mess. Yeah. So it's whether he can sort of extricate himself from that and maybe just get on with the job at hand. But it's a really exciting company to work for.
Yeah.
So I can see why he fancied the challenge.
Definitely. And it looks like a bit of throw his weight around a bit since it's been announced. A lot of the pictures of him in the press, he's looking very Jeff Bezos.
He is.
With the aviators the gilet.
Yeah, he's got that Bezos swag about him. he's a pretty cool guy, actually. And he's he's worth a follow on Twitter because he's just really outspoken opponent of Donald Trump. He is an Iranian immigrant. He's got a really interesting backstory in that his dad immigrated from Iran illegally, and then you can read all about it. But basically, so it means that he's very supportive of immigrant workers and all of that stuff that Donald Trump doesn't like.
I'm sure he's going to want to hopefully encourage that kind of import for his new business as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, how many Uber drivers are sort of immigrant workers? You know, yeah. it's that sort of role. So it will be interesting to see how he takes on that challenge. I think good. I mean, as good as it could possibly be.
Okay, well, for the first time in a long time, that's something we've been able to say about Uber.
Yes, yeah.
It actually looks okay.
Sort of embroiled in lots of bad, but actually there's it looks like it might be a good result for the company.
Yeah, it's slightly concerning. I think, obviously, you're more informed, but for me, that Kalanick is still there. I know they haven't gone full Apple and just kicked out their CEO.
They're trying.
Jobs triumphantly returned to Apple, but with I don't think they would have got to that point had he remained influential. So it's going to be, yeah, it could be messy.
They are trying. Benchmark are currently suing him for fraud,
yes,
and trying to take him and his three board seats off the board. I have no idea how likely they are to win that case, but it's worth keeping an eye on. But Kalanick, from what I've read, sort of harbours some fantasies of a Jobsian return to the company built. Watch this space.
Yeah, I mean, it took Jobs about the best part of a decade to do that.
Yeah, and at least he went off and like did some interesting stuff and learned some lessons.
Well, Next, yeah, was a big lesson for Jobs.
Yeah.
I wonder what Kalanick would invent. Don't know.
Oh, God, it's not even worth thinking about.
No, I know. Let's not go there. Well, thanks. Big update on Uber, and I'm in no doubt that we'll have another one probably in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this news cycle never ends.
It really doesn't. It's an interesting beat.
It is.
And
it is.
Weird that one company can command that much attention. But thank you, Scott. We'll be right back after some drum rolls, and I'm going to talk at Scott about phones. So it's that time of year again. We've had CES at the beginning of the year and Mobile World Congress and a slew of new phones to excite tech journalists and infuriate the choice that the public has. And now towards the end of the year, we are getting more of them. And we've seen some of them. And our colleagues are currently IFA in Berlin. That makes more sense. To look at some of the latest ones. But what Samsung has done is, it used to announce its Note phones at IFA, and it's now done what it's done with MWC, and it's not there anymore, and it's not at IFA.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In terms of phones, and it's brought out its Galaxy Note 8 this last week. Obviously,
they're doing an Apple. They're kind of doing their own announcements outside of the...
Phone department is distancing itself from trade shows now, just to whip up more excitement, and also right before all these events.
Does it work?
It's worked this time, at least. To my surprise, in a way, just because I thought it was such a disaster that the Note 7 literally caught fire.
Yes.
So this is a phone that was announced around this time last year, and we actually got one in. We used it. It was really, really good. It was a bigger, better designed Samsung phone than the S line that is always so popular. You can write on the screen, which I think is neither here nor there, but the cameras were better, the ergonomics were better, the screen was better. But then, yes, it did. Ours didn't, but it did actually explode, which we covered in depth on this podcast, as you'll remember. And I remember a few of my colleagues saying it's not actually going to harm them, and it really hasn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it brave or stupid just sticking with the brand?
We all thought they would ditch the brand, but they've got this kind of this rhetoric that they used at the launch event where DJ Ko, which is a great name, he came out on stage. I don't think he's a real DJ. But he did whip up the crowd by showing this huge presentation, slightly mawkish to be honest, in New York. And he was basically just like, we're really sorry, but we've learned from our mistakes.
Yeah.
And here's like you intimated before we started recording, like the Phoenix phone.
Yeah, are they calling it the Phoenix? Or is that just what we call it?
I think that's testing fate slightly.
I do quite like it, risen from the flames.
But the thing is, it's really good. I mean, objectively a completely unnecessary device.
Sure.
He explained that he called it the Note community. Like, it's a very, I still think it's a very niche product, and it makes a lot of headlines, but I think it's only made these many headlines because the last one blew up. So it's a 6.3-inch screened phone, and it looks very much like the Galaxy S phones that are out at the moment, the S8 Plus particularly. It's only 0.1 of an inch bigger than that phone, and slightly boxier, and like all the other Note phones before it, you can use the S Pen, which is just the stylus.
So is that like bezel-less, like the unboxed Samsung thing?
Yeah, it's that phone basically, but a Note version of that phone.
Cool.
The software is practically the same apart from everything that you can do with this little pen.
Yeah.
But the functionality that it adds, I've not yet used it. My colleagues have, and we've got it in for review at the moment. But being able to write a note on the screen while the screen is locked and it will record the note, stuff like that. And it's more of like actual input for writing or drawing rather than using it to actually go around the UI. But I find it a strange product, and I know that a lot of people don't buy phones outright, really. The reason many of us can afford an iPhone or whatever is because it's subsidised.
Mm-hmm.
But this phone, RRP, is £869.
Blimey.
And that is a lot of money. And some people do want to buy their phones outright, and it's a lot.
That is a lot of money.
And it's very, very similar to their current flagship phone. So they really are, I think this phone, they've piled a lot of effort into it and just making sure that the battery isn't too large.
Yeah.
But it's got to power pretty much one of the most powerful screens on a phone ever. So it'll be interesting to see what the battery life is like for that kind of thing. But really, apart from the stylus input, slightly changed design and a bigger screen, it's also got dual cameras on the back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're at all excited by having two instead of one.
No.
Basically, the advantage is it brings, it depends on the manufacturer as well, so if you'll bear with me, because this will segue nicely into the LG V30.
Excellent.
Which has been launched at IFA.
Love an LG phone.
Many don't. And I presume you were joking.
I've only ever had an iPhone.
Okay, cool. dual cameras, basically, one might be a telephoto lens, so you can zoom, like with the iPhone 7 Plus, mm-hmm. so you get an actual optical zoom rather than digital zoom. LG uses it pretty uniquely in that it'll give you a massive wide angle rather than the same plane of vision just zooming in. It will pan instead rather than zoom. And then also other manufacturers like Huawei put in a monochrome lens, so you get more realistic shots.
So you can do all the cool stuff like panos. And
yeah, and the bokeh effect and things that. So what LG has just, as we record, has just announced this morning is the V30, which has always been its kind of like nerdy line of phones, but they're trying to push it as their main flagship now because LG have been struggling.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, no one really knows what they do outside of tech circles.
Make good TVs.
They do make good TVs and excellent fridges and such.
Excellent.
the G6 phone that I reviewed, I thought was really good, but I don't think they've done amazingly on sales.
What's the hip-hop song, like G6?
They didn't actually use that.
Did they not?
But it was a missed opportunity.
They should have definitely.
There were many very bad
headlines. They should have come out on stage to like a G6.
I met the head of PR when I was out there looking at that phone, and he had never heard of that song.
For God's sake.
And he was like, oh, this is a wasted opportunity.
They probably
but I think maybe he was kind of playing with it slightly, and I think maybe he had already realised that was an awful opportunity.
Yeah, not the opportunity. That is one that you want to miss. They probably can't afford to pay for the
rights. I have no idea who that song's by, but I presume it would cost a lot.
It's probably their only song, so they've bumped up how much it costs to pay for the rights.
Also that.
It's like Coolio just living off those Gangsta's Paradise dollars.
Yeah, I can't name another Coolio song.
No.
Tweet us if you know, listener. What is another Coolio song?
Trivia.
Yeah, the V30, it looks exactly like a Samsung S8, basically.
Yeah.
It's got a bezel-less screen, which, to be fair, LG did try with the G6, but this looks a little bit more tiny curve to the edge of the screen. But the V series has always been better cameras, better battery, and better audio as well. But it's such a specialist phone, and like, I think it looks great, but I'm a phone nerd.
Yeah.
And so for the general consumer, it's all going to come back round. I mean, Sony also announced a couple of new phones at the show today, but Sony's design language hasn't changed for about 4 years.
Mm.
It's that, I don't know if you can picture it, but thin bezels on the side and then two huge bezels at the top and bottom.
Yeah.
Where the speaker and microphone go. And
oh, yeah.
They just do not change their design, and then I'm afraid not very compelling anymore. And also, Sony have this weird thing, right? They have this agreement that their phones in the US won't have fingerprint sensors. And that's such an integral security measure now. It winds me up. Get it right, Sony. Anyway, iPhone 8.
While we're on fingerprint.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So this might be something you've heard slightly more about. iPhone 8. Not confirmed by Apple, but for all intents and purposes, that event will happen on the 12th of September, a couple of Tuesdays' time.
What are they calling the event?
We don't know yet. So no, it's basically a well-sourced Wall Street Journal story.
Yeah.
Saying that's going to be it. And it's normally a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and it's normally in the first half of September. So
that's not far away.
It's looking likely.
What's that, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, 12 days from now.
That's exciting.
It should be good. The thing that everyone's stopped talking about is whether it will actually be called iPhone 8. I'm still not sure if it's going to be called that.
Really?
But I don't know. Because they're going to do... It's kind of what the rumors are going to be last year, and makes me think that they kind of pulled out at the last minute. But we're going to have three iPhones. It's going to be, well, two, really. One 7S, 7S Plus, and then probably what they'll call the iPhone 8.
Yeah.
But what they've never done before is announce... They normally discount the old model and introduce the new number. So 6S became cheaper and they introduced 7. I can't quite see Apple upgrading the 7 to a 7S and then releasing an 8 at the same time, if you see what I mean. Because why would people buy the 7S?
Yeah.
Brand new. So basically what it's looking like is that the upgrade for the current 7 would just be adding an S on the end, but they're making the body glass instead of metal so that they can have wireless charging.
So glass, not ceramic?
We don't know. It could be ceramic, but ceramic is really expensive.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So what would they do? Put like a piece of plastic in and then cover it in glass so that it's got like a white back or a black back?
Yeah, maybe. That's what Samsung did for the Galaxy S7. It was like a weird bit of paper in there.
Apple won't use a weird bit of paper.
I mean, it looked good, to be fair. But yeah, it's looking in all likelihood that those 7S will be like one of the weirdest iPhones ever because it will have... Inductive charging, you can't really call it wireless charging because it does have to touch something. But yeah, it's like just adding wireless charging and then supposedly won't even have a wireless charger in the box, which to be fair, a lot of manufacturers also do. But then it'll just be this, it will all be about the iPhone 8, which is going to lose the home button.
Yeah.
So
is it going to be facial recognition?
Yeah, apparently. And it'd be interesting because everyone has always rags on Apple for being that company. Well, they have latterly have been a company that they just copy other people.
Yeah.
Because people are going to say, oh, well, they copied Samsung, they copied LG by taking out the bezels and taking out the home button or whatever. But if you try and use facial recognition on some of the phones that we've got at the moment, it sucks.
Yeah.
I've got the...
I've gone through an e-passport gate.
Yeah, they never work.
They just don't work.
They really don't. And a lot of people find that, don't they?
Yeah.
And the facial recognition stuff at the moment, I found LG's works more often than Samsung's does, but it can also, both of those can be fooled by a 2D picture of somebody.
Yeah.
Or indeed, people were discussing this before, like law enforcement stuff, just hold the phone up to the person's face and you've unlocked it.
And fingerprint isn't perfect. I mean, basically, if you like have anything on your hand, like it's like not going to work. Like,
oh yeah, in the sense that it's unreliable when you're sweaty.
Yeah, if I try and use it after a run, it's just not going
to
work.
And then also that it's not impossible to put someone's finger on a fingerprint scanner or clone someone's fingerprint from whatever. Anyway, we're getting a bit too into it. But then it was interesting to me that Apple would take away Touch ID because they've made such a big thing about it, as it links to your, obviously the security of your phone, but then also all your App Store purchases. Mm-hmm. It can verify your identity on banking apps and things like that. So for the facial recognition on the iPhone 8, for not to have a button, because they're not going to stick I can't see them putting a Touch ID button like on the back of the phone, like underneath the logo. It doesn't look good.
It's just such an Apple thing to do, is like to get rid of something when they could definitely just have both in some way.
Mm.
Unless they couldn't have both because they don't want to have a home button.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't quite know why. I just think ergonomically they don't want to have a home button anywhere but where they would normally put it. And so it would become a virtual button. So like on Samsung's S8, if you tap where the floating button turns up, if you tap it lightly, it doesn't do anything. But if you push down hard, it's got a sensor under there.
Yeah.
So it knows that you're trying to access that button instead.
And does it give you, what's the word, where it gives you like a little...
haptic feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It does a little bit like a hard buzz.
Yeah.
So Apple may do that. But this facial recognition is going to have to be just really good. It's going to have to work in the dark. It's going to have to work every time. I got new glasses recently and I like set it face unlock for a Samsung phone and I got new glasses and it didn't know who I was. It's not good enough. This is going to have to be like infrared scanning, like 3D scanning. Because at the moment it's all on one 2D plane.
It's very strange. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, I'm sure they can't mess it up that badly.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, I think unfairly are riled because they copy everyone. But when Apple does something, it does it right.
Yeah.
In this user interface and like sort of seamless integration with new stuff, like the iPhone 5S was the first phone to have Touch ID.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but a phone before that had a fingerprint scanner, or maybe roughly the same time, was the Samsung Galaxy S5.
Mm.
But it had a fingerprint scanner that you didn't press down or tap on. You had to like swipe your finger down it.
Yeah.
And it was crap.
Yeah.
It was so bad. And people, I owned that phone and didn't even use it. But Apple just nailed it straight away.
Without getting into the weeds of like locking and unlocking though, like if it doesn't have a home button and no bezels, it's probably going to be a gorgeous thing. Like it probably is going to be a genuinely
gorgeous. You are going to want one the moment you see it.
Yeah, that's the problem, especially considering it's probably going to cost four figures.
It could well be the £1,000 iPhone. Yeah. But like I said before, most people won't spend on an iPhone. They'll get it on contract. Big contract. It's probably going to be like 60, 70 quid.
Yeah, you're talking about...
And an upfront cost.
Yeah, you're not going to have a 45, 50 quid contract if that's what you've got to pay. Because you've got to pay off in 2 years.
And Apple will do the clever thing they always do with perceived scarceness of product. So
everyone
is going to like pre-order this.
I'm currently due an upgrade and it's like a terrifying thing because I just have to make a purchasing decision at some point.
Yeah, I mean the 7S is still going to be a really good phone. It's going to have a better processor. It's probably going to have inductive charging. They might improve the camera again.
But just not sure Apple, Apple's doing
it. I know.
I just have to. I don't think I can just buy it.
Yeah. Because the new one, you've probably all seen the pictures. It's got like a little notch at the top which kind of dips down and will hold the earpiece and everything.
Mm.
But then because it'll probably also be the first iPhone to have an OLED display, which can display much blacker blacks, the status bar, where it would normally look like there were two little ridges at the top for like the signal and your battery and everything, that will go black in most apps, so it will look like a square screen.
Got you.
But then some apps will use it completely, like probably the built-in Apple apps will use that to make it just look really big, which some phones have already done. It's just one of the most exciting iPhone releases for a while.
So you guys have to all take, you guys can't take any holiday on the 12th of September, is it?
Unfortunately not, no. I had fingers crossed it was the next week because it's my birthday.
No, I mean, it's getting rough for you guys, isn't it? What have you got, Prime Day coming up?
ETH is on at the moment. Prime Day's already happened, but I mean, we're already like revving up for Black Friday. Amazon never dies. So.
No.
but it's not even in terms of an e-commerce thing. Like, this is going to be big news. It's the first time since 2015... Is that right? No, 2014. 2014 is the iPhone 6.
Yeah.
It's the first time they've majorly updated the hardware for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be a biggie. And there's probably going to be a new Apple Watch, Apple TV, something else thrown in.
All that stuff
that you want to spend all your hard-earned money on.
Yeah, I will not spend my hard-earned money on a watch, but...
No.
You know.
I think it made a lot of... Apparently what they're going to do, if you'll indulge this nerdy fact, is that on the iOS 11... The dock that you have at the bottom of iOS is going to be more like the dock on a Mac in that you can have way more icons along it. We can on the iPad anyway. And it's more like a floating dock that you can bring up and down. Rumoured to be coming to the new iPhone because the more screen space.
That's what they want, isn't it?
You can take away the dock, and just have a lot more room to play.
Nice.
It's going to be interesting.
That's pretty exciting.
It's going to be expensive.
It is.
Yeah, tune in Macworld UK for the latest, probably on the 12th. Scott, thank you for joining me.
Cheers.
Like the Geo format.
Like it.
Who needs other people? thanks for listening, listener. We'll be back next week to probably talk about some more phones, talk about Travis Kalanick returning to the head of Uber.
Yeah, yeah. Shortest tenured CEO of Silicon Valley history.
And all the other bad and wonderful things that happen in tech. Thanks, and see you next week. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.